the old history of theism. This is an old church on the Red Square, symbol of Moscow, the St. Basil's Cathedral. And you can see Prabhupada in front of this church. He's looking at this church. he's saying... And at that time, Prabhupada made a particular prediction. He said, this is a very beautiful church. In the future, it will be Radha Krishna temple. So, this is one of the predictions which didn't come true. But there were many other predictions which did come true. One of these predictions which Prabhupada made was that in the city of Moscow, and that was set in 71, he said in 71 very boldly, that in the city of Moscow there will be thousands of people who would raise their hands in the air and who would chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. And at that time, if anybody would say something like this, you know, any normal people would think that this person is crazy. But Prabhupada very boldly made this prediction, and this prediction did came through. This is Professor Katovsky. Perhaps some of you read in the Science of Self-Realization dialogue of Srila Prabhupada with Professor Katovsky. Prabhupada was not very happy with this professor because the professor was the communist. And he said, there is no soul, there is no God, there is no life after death. And Prabhupada came after discussing this with him on the West and he said, do you know that in Russia even professors are complete fools? They don't believe in soul. So, but later, many years later, this Professor Katovsky came to our temple, and he was really amazed to see that there is a temple in Moscow, that so many devotees are there, Russian people are devotees. And he said, when I saw Swamiji in 71, I never could even imagine that his movement will be so big in my country. And he became a friend of our movement. And this is Shyama Sundar Prabhu, who arranged the visa. The story goes like this, that Professor Katovsky wrote a letter back to Prabhupada. Prabhupada wrote a nice polite letter saying that I am such and such Swami, I am doing this work, I am spreading Krishna consciousness, we are publishing Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita. And Professor Katovsky was an Indologist, and he wrote very politely back, Swamiji, very nice that what you are doing, if you happen to be in Moscow, please come to see me. And Prabhupada received this letter and he said, I was invited by Professor Katovsky to go to Moscow. That was his desire and his determination. And Shyama Sundar Prabhu arranged for his visa and he was with him all the time and he was trying to help Prabhupada because he knew that real mission of Srila Prabhupada was not to speak with Professor Katovsky. It was to speak with Russian people whom he couldn't speak. But ultimately, Shyama Sundar Prabhu met this person on the street. That's Ananta Shanti. Practically the only disciple of Srila Prabhupada. There was another one, Valmiki Prabhu. But the only one whom Srila Prabhupada personally met in Moscow was Ananta Shanti. And Ananta Shanti became his disciple. And he started preaching. And Prabhupada, after speaking with him, he said that you can see, you can know, by speaking with this one person, I can know this whole country is ready to accept Krishna consciousness. And he was right, because, you know, this one single person, when he started preaching, there were so many people who were coming, who started making kirtans. But again, the country was strictly atheistic, and it was not possible to do it even in the private apartments, not to speak publicly. So sometimes devotees would go to the forest. And on this particular occasion, when devotees were there in the forest making kirtan, the KGB surrounded them and arrested them. In the late 70s, beginning of 80s, there were 70 devotees who were put in prisons and psychiatric hospitals. This is one of the prisons in former Soviet Union where devotees were put. There is this prison cell where one devotee, Sarvabhauma Prabhu, was there, serving his term. For years, devotees were there in the prison just for their faith in God. But despite of all this persecution and harassment, they were chanting the names of God in the beads made from the prison's bread. Indradyumna Maharaj once told me that for some time he received these beads made by devotees in prison. And he said, I made these beads, my regular beads, and I was changing on these beads, and it was very ecstatic. But then the beads crumbled because they were made from bread. So this devotee, his name is Sachisuta. He died at that time in prison. Because he was strictly following the regulative principles, he would not eat anything. He would just eat little bread and little water. He was 23 years old when he died. And this is his altar in prison. So it was very serious, this lady Premavati. She had two daughters, and she was pregnant when the government put her in prison. And her only fault was that she translated Bhagavad Gita into Russian. Bhagavad Gita as it is. And the KGB, the secret police of Russia, confiscated this book and put her for this crime in prison. And her daughter died in prison, which was born there after 2 months of living. And there were so many other stories which we don't have time to describe. But the point is that Srila Prabhupada was able to instill such a strong faith in the people's heart that they were ready to sacrifice their life. Even though mostly these people were coming from the atheistic background, they were not particularly interested in religion. But still, the potency, the power of Hare Krishna movement and Hare Krishna mantra was so great that they were ready to sacrifice their lives. And at that time, devotees all over the world, they started protest, demonstrations of protest. I'm sure here in Los Angeles, devotees were going to the streets. This is on the streets of Berlin. You can see Sachinandana Maharaj, Bhakti Vaibhava Maharaj. They were trying to defend devotees in Russia. And this is little Sri Prahlad in Australia recording the record. He recorded the song, Mr. Gorbachev, please free my friends. Free Hare Krishna, Soviet Hare Krishnas. And this little record was given to the Prime Minister of Australia, and the Prime Minister of Australia gave it to Gorbachev. Supposedly Gorbachev even heard this song of Sri Prahlad. Mr. Gorbachev, please free my friends. Somehow or other, again, this is the potency of Krishna. At one point, the whole Soviet system fell apart, and all the devotees were released. And immediately we went on the streets of Moscow with Kirtan. And you can see here how devotees are marching to the Kremlin, to the Red Square, as if they want to take over the Russian government. And sometimes it was scary because there was a huge crowds of devotees, and you can see the policeman is trying to divert them and to show them a opposite direction. But they're going right there to the Red Square. And here you can see Mahmud Thakur in front of Lenin's tomb. He specifically came to Lenin's tomb to purify the dead body of Lenin, to give some relief to his poor soul. And this is in 89 when the first group of Russian devotees went to India. This is the first pilgrimage of Russian devotees. They met at that time with Rajiv Gandhi. Rajiv Gandhi was very happy to see the first devotees. And the whole India couldn't believe this story, how the people are sacrificing their life. In India, they almost forgot about Krishna. Or at least they're not ready to sacrifice anything. But somewhere in Russia, in an atheistic country, people are doing this. And at that time, the government gave us the Hare Krishna movement in Russia, this old building, dilapidated, falling apart. And devotees very quickly turned it into a temple. You know, they made it into a temple. Because where there is Krishna consciousness, there is life. You know, and the deities were there. Sisida Alnitai Sachisuta. And the Yagya was there. The fire of Yagya, which is purifying the soul and the heart of people. Which is very essential symbol of this eternal process of purification. The Yagya started, and this Yagya attracted so many people. So many people would come, like these Russian ladies. So many people would participate in our Ratayatras. Of course, you have Ratayatra here. But still, in Russia, when Russia just opened up, the prediction of Prabhupada was fulfilled. You remember, I said that Prabhupada said that there will be thousands of people chanting on the streets of Moscow. And this is what happened. And here is the proof of this. In 1992, it doesn't work, this microphone. I will tell you what is it in a moment. Anyway, in 1992, there was a concert in Moscow where 33,000 people took part. And it was Hare Krishna concert. And all the way through, devotees were chanting Hare Krishna, and 33,000 people were chanting along with them. Titik Shivakaronika came all the way from LA at that time to lead the kirtan. And somebody from the stage at that time on this concert announced that there is a temple in Moscow, please come to the temple. So the next day there were 7,000 people in our temple. We didn't know what to do with them. Crowds and crowds of people. And Newsweek magazine published an article at that time that Hare Krishna faith is the fastest growing religion in the former Soviet Union. Everyone was scared, you know, there are thousands of Hare Krishnas in Moscow. Anyway, that's a normal scene in Moscow temple when there are some lilies going on. The temple is packed, there is no practically place to act. You know, and the Lord came, Hanuman came with him. You can see it. And it's so attractive because Krishna consciousness is invoking the natural propensity of the soul. The soul needs to be happy. And there are so many other religions, but sometimes religion is being misunderstood as something gloomy, something which is smelling like a graveyard. You know? But when devotees came and when they showed that actually the religion, the essence of religion is the joy of the soul. And of course Krishna is the all-attractive personality. This, you see Russian boy playing flute, attracting the hearts of people. Therefore thousands and thousands of people were attracted by this powerful presentation of religion. And you can see, and this is holy in Moscow temple. You can see different people, you know, Indians and Russians, they are equally happy to be smeared with colors. Because again, the holy is the fight of love. This is the symbol of joy and love. And you can see these girls, they're very happy, Russian girls putting on saris and ornaments. Of course, some say they're so happy because they have so many ornaments in them. But in any case, this is the process which can really be applicable to everyone, to old people, to young people, and even to Russian officials. This is a Russian official. And you can see he's very suspicious. But still, he wants to believe in God. Even he could feel it. And devotees following Prabhupada's footsteps, they know the way how to dissipate the doubts. This is how they dissipate the doubts. This is prasadam. This is the cake in the form of Govardhan Hill. This is Govardhan celebration in Moscow temple, Govardhan Puja. And this was one of the main methods of our preaching. We approached people through prasadam. And this is, of course, the cake on the streets of Moscow. You know, we would go out with these cakes, and so many people would like these cakes, but this is not the biggest one. This is just sometimes medium size. This is the bigger. This was 8,000 kilos. It took us 1 week to bake this cake. And it took us only 2 hours to distribute it. You can see how many people are there to get a piece of cake. And that's, of course, another way to preach. Because Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that if you love God, you have to feel compassion for people. Compassion is a very natural tendency of somebody who has pure heart. And we started our Food for Life program because at that time there were so many people, especially old people and young people, who were totally insecure. And there were some war areas. You can see here, Priyavrata was one Russian devotee near the tank. You can see these refugee children who are flocking to get little plate of prasadam because they're hungry. They basically have no even piece of bread to eat. They're so eager to get it. And this is our way to approach the hearts of people. Because if you feel something within your heart, you can share it with others. And this is, of course, Chechnya. You can see this bombed out capital of Chechnya and Food for Life van in the middle with the logo of Food for Life. We were the first humanitarian organization to help these people, and we helped literally hundreds of thousands of people, old people, children, you know, people who were deprived of their human rights. And when I was there in Chechnya, one lady approached me. She was in her 40s or 50s, and she said, "Thank you very much, you saved my life. But not because of your bread, not because of your soup. This is also nice, but you saved my life because you gave me hope. I was losing my hope because I didn't see the future for this country. I didn't see the future for these people. But when you came and you started doing this, the hope came back to my heart." This was one of the devotees who was shot dead in Chechnya by accident. And then we stopped this program in Chechnya. But there were, again, human sacrifices at that period of history of Russian Yatra. And for so many years we were preaching, and we were using this little temple in Moscow as a base. But then at one point the Russian government, the Moscow government, came and wanted to take the temple back. They said, "We want to knock down this building. It's old. We want to reconstruct this district, and you get out on the streets." And we told the government officials, "We're not going to get out on the streets. We'll be in this building until you give us something in exchange. We'll stay. You do whatever you like. We're going to stay here." And they came for many months. We were there as in a fort, you know, and they were trying to push us out. They cut the electricity, cut the water supply, but we were still there. And we were demanding, we were pressing the government from the other side, from the Indian side. This is the Chief Minister of Delhi, Shaila Dixit. She came to Moscow, the former Prime Minister of India, Atal Bihari Vajpayee. We informed him. We were trying to push the government because otherwise we couldn't have any connection. We are not very powerful people yet. But still, somebody is behind us. So we were trying to use the Indian government to help. Atal Bihari Vajpayee, he came to Moscow several times. And we brought Gurukul boys to him. And this Gurukuli boy, he was chanting slokas in Sanskrit in Moscow to Atal Bihari Vajpayee. He couldn't believe his ears. He said, this is unbelievable. And he spoke with the president of Russia, with President Putin. And of course, we met with President Putin. Here you see President Putin in Delhi. And this is Sadhu Priyadas, one of our congregational members, one of our leaders of Indian congregation in Moscow, who is giving his darshan to Mr. Putin. Because devotees are so compassionate and merciful. Their compassion extends that far. So he spoke with Mr. Putin and he said, "We need the temple, we need the temple." And Mr. Putin promised, yes, we will help, we will help. And what happened next, the mayor of Moscow, you can see, is a very intelligent person. Very shrewd. So he finally decided to give us something in exchange of this building. And when he gave us the land in exchange of this, we couldn't believe it. This is the Kremlin, the map of Moscow, and this is the main street of Moscow. You can see this in a circle, the land which was given to us. And the market value of this land is about $20 million. And the government gave it for free to the devotees. And recently somebody asked mayor of Moscow, why in the world did you give such a good piece of land to Hare Krishna? He said, I don't know, don't ask me. I can't. So that was his answer. Anyway, they gave us the plot of land, the mayor of Moscow. That's another miracle, and there were so many miracles which happened. Again, because of the pure desire of Srila Prabhupada. This is the plot of land there in the purple. And there is this undeveloped piece of land in the center of Moscow, which is going to be developed. And you can see this is how it, this is the plan for development of this. Unfortunately, I don't have a pointer. Otherwise, I would show you. You have it? No. No, it's not going to work. If somebody has a laser pointer. Anyway, so on the right side, there is already a Hare Krishna temple. In this district, there will be amusement park, something like Disneyland in Moscow. There will be the biggest shopping center, the museums and everything, and then Hare Krishna temple right in the center of all of this. So this is the land which they gave, and this is the plans for the development of this plot of land. Oh, you found it. Okay, let me show it to you. We found the pointer here. So this is the... it doesn't really work. No, it should work. Yes, well, the battery is bad. Anyway, so no problem. You got an idea. This is what they're planning to build there. And when they gave us this land, they actually told us, please build something very impressive. Ambarish Prabhu came to Moscow specifically to preach about this project of the cultural center in Moscow, Hare Krishna Cultural Center. And he met with the vice mayor of Moscow. You can see him, he's with garland. And also the garland doesn't really fit so much to this man. But Ambarish Prabhu approached him and said, we are going to build a magnificent cultural center. And this vice mayor of Moscow said, really, please build a Taj Mahal in Moscow. And Ambarish said, yeah, if you want Taj Mahal, we will build Taj Mahal. So this is the Taj Mahal which we are going to build. This is, no, not this one. This is Prabhupada Samadhi in Vrindavan. And Ambarish Prabhu showed to them different temples of ISKCON and different Hindu temples all over the world. Because there is not a single Hindu temple in the whole of Russia. There is no proper building. Also, there are so many Indians and there are so many Hare Krishnas there. So he said that it's necessary. There are so many different beautiful temples. This is in Aksaradham in Ahmedabad, beautiful temple carved in stone. This is the Nisden Temple in London, one of the most beautiful temples in the world. And Ambarish Prabhu showed this, and the vice mayor of Moscow became very excited, and he said, yes, yes, build a Hindu temple here. We need it. We also want to be like London. So he said, we will install Krishna there, Srimati Radharani there. And we actually decided to use this temple as the prototype for the future Moscow project. This is Jagannath Puri temple, the most ancient and the most powerful temple, the most famous Vishnu temple in all over the world. And we employed one architect. He is a devotee. He gave up his job just to work on the temple project, and he created the design after this temple in Jagannath Puri. This is the temple which we want to build in Moscow. This is Taj Mahal. So we showed these plans to Moscow government, and Moscow government initially loved this. They said, yes, please build this land and have the elephant there and everything should be... They really love this. They said it's beautiful, it's so nice. We showed them this 3D model. This 3D model is, you know, shows how it should be. This design is a blend of the modern architecture and the ancient architecture. It has a modern touch and very traditional ancient touch. And it's supposed to be a cultural center and educational center in Moscow. We have big plans, and there are so many people who are interested, who are ready to take courses. And there should be different courses there in this cultural center. So we were very happy. The government was very happy for some time, for a short time. But there were some people who were not very happy. They unfortunately forgot that there is one quality deep within the heart of every living being, which is called envy. And when other people found out, and we were stupid enough to announce it publicly that we are going to build this temple in Moscow, so when other people found out about this, there was a huge uproar. You know, there were articles in newspapers, Hare Krishnas are going to take over Moscow, you know, they're building the biggest building, you know, ever, this and that. And it's not that big, it just looks a little big. So what happened next? Next was a big demonstration in Moscow, arranged by the Russian Orthodox Church. Russian Orthodox Church is a very conservative organization. And they decided to specifically protest against Hare Krishna temple in Moscow. For the whole week, Orthodox radio was working and calling people, come at that time for the demonstration, and they were only talking about Krishna. For some time, I even saw that this is not Orthodox radio, this is Hare Krishna radio, because you can only hear there, Krishna, 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 Krishna. And they called this demonstration, and there were 3,000 people or 4,000 people came. You see these black flags. And this black flag, it is set there in the black flag. Glory to Christ, death to Antichrist. You know, this is, they're quite militant, these people. They're serious people, they have serious intentions. This Orthodox priest, he said on this demonstration that if Hare Krishna would build this temple, we will blow it up. By the way, the person behind this, he's there with gray hairs. He's from America. So everything good is coming from America. He learned on the anti-sect movement here in America, and he came to Russia. Here it is said that the Society for Krishna Consciousness is the international terrorist organization. So many nice words they have, and all these simple people were cheated and bewildered. They came with their icons to protest. You can see this person, he's almost in samadhi. Yeah, he's so sad because of so many strange things going on around him. And there is this flag with the skull and the bones and so many other flags are there, and with you Prabhupada, with us God. And there is a pun there, there is Swami means with you, Swami Prabhupada, it means with you Prabhupada, get away from here, and God is with us. But what happened next, this is the debate on the biggest channel of Russian TV. After this demonstration, the channel of TV invited representative of Hare Krishna and Orthodox Church to debate. And there were four judges. And out of four judges, three judges voted for Hare Krishna. They said, Hare Krishna are good people, and these orthodox people, they are just nonsense. Basically, that was their assertion. Anyway, and when that happened, that was a public humiliation for the whole church. Everyone was saying, as Hare Krishnas, they have a right. They have a right to build a temple. They have a right to... This lady is saying, it's better to lose with an intelligent man than to win with a fool, so I'm voting for Hare Krishna. So, and that was a public humiliation for the most powerful church. You know, Russian Orthodox Church is very powerful, it's very well connected, and this is the head of Russian Orthodox Church, the Patriarch. And you can see him. Please look at him. He's very spiritually minded. When I saw this presentation on the GBC, one of the sannyasis said that probably his crown costs more than our temple. So, you know, these people, I mean, they're dangerous people. They have a special shakti. And they're trying to be the only church, the only religion in the whole of Russia. Before that, it was KGB. Now it's Russian Orthodox Church. They're trying to suppress each and everyone. And he personally got involved. Actually, what happened, this is some scenes from past. There was one temple in Russia, and a gang of people attacked this temple during Gaura Arati time. And there were devotees inside, and the gang was headed by the Russian Orthodox priest. And the people had iron rods, and they started beating the devotees with iron rods during the service time. You can see what happened. This boy was in coma for 7 days after this. This is what these people are all about, you know, they're serious people. So we started talking with them personally. We invited them for debate. But again, you can look at them and see whether they can be debatable or not. Whether you can debate with them or not. This is one of Russian devotees, and Radhika Raman from America. He just got a PhD degree from Oxford. He's only 22. So that was a good excuse for us to invite them. And you can see, look at them. Look at these people. You know, and can you talk philosophy with them? Anyway, we tried. You can see the contrast between Hare Krishna devotees and these people. You know, it's a very stark contrast. But we still have a hope. Despite of all these difficulties, we have a very powerful protector. And you will see this protector now. With lion head. By the way, this is it's played by one lady, and she is, by the way, the wife of Hiranyakashipu, of the man who played Hiranyakashipu. So despite of all these difficulties, we still went on. The old temple was demolished. It was knocked down. The excavators, you know, really knocked it down. There was only some, you know, sprigs left. But we went to the new land, which was given still to the government. This is this main street, which I showed before, the main street of Moscow. And just 100 meters away from the street, if you turn away, there is this land which was given to us. This is the land. And on this land, the construction company, which wanted to push us out from the old building, because they wanted to construct on the same spot, they built for us a new temporary building, a new temple. And they, you know, built it for free, and it cost around $100,000. So far, they're the biggest donor of Moscow Temple Project. So and they built this temporary building, and we went inside. Of course, at that time, we didn't know how much difficulties we will have to undergo. We were very happy about this new project, new development. We put all our garbage inside. And we, of course, brought the deities there. It's a very small temple room, not like here. And you can touch the ceiling, basically. It's a very humble building. But still, you know, Prabhupada is there, and Sisi Gorat Nita is there. And we were cooking for them. All the services are going on, 5 pujas and everything. The standard was not even reduced. The problem, of course, with the cooking and everything is that there is no water in the temple. There is no water supply, and there is no sewage. And when the people come for Sunday feast program, we have 1,000 people coming. We have to feed them on a parking lot, you know, because there is not enough place. Here they are sitting in a parking lot, and we have a program outside because they cannot fit inside. And every day the car comes to fill up the tank with water. This is the car coming, and they're filling the buckets and the different tanks, and sometimes it's not enough. And it was okay. It was last year during the summer we moved there, but then the autumn came. This is the sink outside. The autumn was still okay, was still tolerable. But then the winter came. This is the toilets outside, because there is no sewage there and there is no water. So the same toilets during the winter. You know, you probably don't know what is Moscow winter. It's minus 20 Celsius all the way through, and so much snow. You can see here, it's almost the size of the human being, you know. And the devotees, they have to take shower outside in the snow. Those brave souls who live there are around 15 devotees still living in this temple, who couldn't have any other place. So they go out every morning, and sometimes when they take shower, the water becomes ice before it touches their body. It's so cold, and you know, to find the entrance, you have to really look for it. In the snow. But still, devotees go out, and this is book distributors. They go out in devotional clothes and dhotis in Moscow, even during the winter. And we had around 70 brahmacharis, and out of them, 45-50 were book distributors, sankirtan devotees. And all of them were hosted by one grihastha. One grihastha specifically for this purpose built a big house for his family, and he hosted 50 brahmacharis in his house. You can see them here. This is this grihastha, this is his wife. In the middle is his kid, little boy, and there are so many big boys which are also adopted by him. No. Because there was no other way, but still the determination is so strong, and devotees are still going on. And despite of all these difficulties, there were 40,000 books distributed during the marathon, Prabhupada marathon in December. Within 1 month by these devotees. Well, it's far away, and it's only there. It's only grihasthas are living, a few grihasthas are living. This is this devotee. You can see that he's on the verge. It's too much for him. His wife is still happy, but it's a little too much to have 40 brahmacharis in your house. Anyway, we're still going on because the Krishna consciousness is eternal and we believe in Krishna. We believe, and this is, we're burning Holika. This is during Gaur Purnima time. We have the effigy of Holika being burned. And, you know, there was basically thousands of people came for this and we had a good holy celebration there at that time too. You can see these Russian girls and Indian boys. You know, it's done in a very cultured way. You know, you approach somebody and you put the color all over him. And this is the kirtan there in the new temple. And despite of all the resistance, actually, it seems like we are almost winning. We very soon, it seems like we will get the green light. And for the whole year, we couldn't get approval for this design. Finally, the planning committee gave us the complete approval just a few days before I left from Russia to America. And despite of all this resistance, the miracles are happening still, you know. And this is the most amazing thing to be a part of. So this is the Abhishek in the new temple. And this is, I'm showing the religious buildings in Russia, in Moscow. This is St. Basil's Cathedral. This is the Savior of the Christ Church. The government spent $900 million to build this church in the middle of Moscow. This is the symbol of New Russia, supposedly a religious country. Yeah, this is Orthodox. There are 600 different Orthodox churches in Moscow. There is synagogues. This is one of the synagogues in Moscow. There is mosque. This is Muslim mosque. Very beautiful in the middle of Moscow. This is Roman Catholic Cathedral in the middle of Moscow. And this is Hare Krishna Temple in the middle of Moscow. But it should be like this. Yeah, they approved the design. The design is modified. It's a little more modest. But ultimately, they approved the design. This is the news. And it seems like we're renewing the contract. And very soon, in a couple of months, we will have, we will be able to start the construction. This is... But again, this is all happening because of the strong desire, of course, of Radha and Krishna to come to Moscow, because there is no Radha Krishna deities in the whole of Russia and in the whole of former Soviet Union. And the primary force is, of course, the desire of Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada wants this temple to be there. He wants desperately, and he's making these miracles. And in the meantime, the devotees are dancing under the snow. Okay, that's the end of the presentation. This is the official site of our project, and I'm traveling around trying to promote this project and to explain what's going on, to inspire other people and to share this with you. And if you can help one way or another, please help. And if you cannot, please pray to Rukmini Dvarakadish here. They're very powerful deities. And anyway, the prayers is the most precious. And if you can help one way, please help. Thank you. I will give class.
Maharaj will be here tomorrow to give the Srimad Bhagavatam class, so you will have another opportunity. If you left your checkbook at home or your wallet at home, you'll have another opportunity. But if you can do something right now, now is always the best time. The present is always the best time. Hare Krishna.
With the